Welcome to the Wetoto Church Podcast. Prepare your heart as we explore scripture and delve into the Word of God.
Wow, Lord, thank you for an amazing word. You have called us to a bold vision, to walk with a strong conviction, and take steps of courageous action so that you will bring about through this church what you spoke over 40 years ago. We have already seen the great things that you have done, but we know that there is so much more ahead of us. So as we turn to your word today, continue to build us up, making us those people that are bold, strong, and courageous, so that through us you may write an even better story for your glory. In Jesus' name, let the church say amen. Amen and amen. Wow. Our theme, like we just said it, bold, strong, courageous. From Joshua chapter 1 and verse 9. After God had called Joshua to take on leadership of the nation of Israel, he was going to lead them into the promised land. It was a big assignment. It was a God assignment. And in Joshua chapter 1 and verse 9, God said to him, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." For total family, just like God gave Joshua a bold vision of leading the children of Israel into the promised land, God gave our founders, Gary and Marilyn, a bold vision. He called them to plant an English-speaking church in the heart of the city of Kampala. And he said to them, "Be faithful to me, because through that church, I want to touch the cities and the nations." Here we stand 40 years later. Shall we give God a big hand clap of praise because he has fulfilled his promises? But now, this generation has an opportunity to carry on writing God's story. And every single one of us has a part to play. And God is saying to us, Wetoto Church, I want you to be bold. I want you to be strong. And I want you to be courageous. But this is not just for Wetoto Church. God wants you to pursue his bold vision for your life. God wants you to do it with a strong conviction that if he said it, he will do it. And he wants you every day when you get up to take steps of courageous action. God wants you to attempt things you've never attempted before. God wants you to step out into the deep waters, and the waters will part because you've chosen to pursue what God has called you to. My prayer is that 2025, you begin to see God's bold vision for your life unfold in Jesus' name. And last week, we took time to learn some lessons, as we've been doing through the book of Joshua, to understand our theme even more clearly. And last week, we took time to learn some lessons from Gilgal, where the male citizens of Israel were circumcised. And we learned three key lessons. One, that God requires our commitment if we are going to see him do something significant in our lives and through our lives. He requires our commitment. But secondly, we also understood that God will fulfill his promise. God will fulfill his promise. He's not a man that he should lie. He does not change his mind. And finally, we learned that as we pursue God's bold vision for our lives, God is our source. He's not God, just the God of vision. He is the God of provision. Amen. Today, we want to continue on with our series, Bold, Strong, Courageous. And I want to encourage you right now, would you take your Bible and turn to Joshua chapter 6. And today, as we turn to Joshua chapter 6, we are going to learn some lessons from the fall of Jericho. Joshua chapter 6 begins to tell us about how Israel stepped into battle to take possession of the promised land. Yes, God had made a promise that they would inherit this land, but they had to fight some battles in order to take ground. They were not just going to walk into things. They were going to have to fight some battles. Can I just say to you, my brother, my sister, the fulfillment of God's vision for your life is going to call you to fight some battles. There are some battles you're going to have to face, and you cannot back down from the battle. You have to go into battle. And God's word is going to prepare us. How do we fight these battles? And the very first battle they had to take on was a battle with the city of Jericho. Let's read together from Joshua chapter 6 and verse 1 to 20. Now the gates of Jericho were securely barred because of the Israelites. No one went out and no one came in. Then the Lord said to Joshua, "See, I have delivered Jericho into your hands, along with its king and its fighting men. March around the city once with all the armed men. Do this for 6 days. Have 7 priests carry trumpets of ram's horns in front of the ark. On the 7th day, march around the city 7 times with the priests blowing the trumpets. When you hear them sound a long blast on the trumpets, have the whole army give a loud shout. Then the wall of the city will collapse and the army will go up, everyone straight in." So Joshua, son of Nun, called the priests and said to them, "Take up the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord and have 7 priests carry trumpets in front of it." And he ordered the army, "Advance, march around the city with an armed guard going ahead of the Ark of the Lord." When Joshua had spoken to the people, the 7 priests carrying the 7 trumpets before the Lord went forward, blowing their trumpets, and the Ark of the Lord's covenant followed them. The armed guard marched ahead of the priests who blew the trumpets, and the rear guard followed the ark. All this time the trumpets were sounding, but Joshua had commanded the army, "Do not give a war cry. Do not raise your voices. Do not say a word until the day I tell you to shout. Then shout." So he had the ark of the Lord carried around the city, circling it once. Then the army returned to the camp and spent the night there. Joshua got up early the next morning, and the priests took up the ark of the Lord. The 7 priests carrying the 7 trumpets went forward, marching before the ark of the Lord, and followed the ark of the Lord while the trumpets kept sounding. So on the 2nd day, they marched around the city once and returned to the camp. They did this for how many days? 6 days. On the 7th day, they got up at daybreak and marched around the city 7 times in the same manner, except that on that day, they circled the city how many times? 7 times. The 7th time around, when the priests sounded the trumpet blast, Joshua commanded the army, "Shout, for the Lord has given you the city. The city and all that is in it are to be devoted to the Lord. Only Rahab the prostitute and all who are with her in her house shall be spared, because she hid the spies we sent. But keep away from the devoted things, so that you will not bring about your own destruction by taking any of them. Otherwise, you will make the camp of Israel liable to destruction and bring trouble on it. All the silver and gold and the articles of bronze and iron are sacred to the Lord and must go into his treasury." When the trumpet sounded, the army shouted. And at the sound of the trumpet, when the men gave a loud shout, the wall collapsed, so everyone charged straight in and they took the city. Would you praise the Lord for the victories that he gives his people? It's a miracle story. You know, so many songs have been sung from this portion of scripture. So many messages have been preached from this portion of scripture. It is a story we often return to when we want to be encouraged through the battles that we are facing as we go about the vision that God has given to us as a church, as individuals, as families, as organizations. Listen, I'll say it again. In order for you to see the fulfillment of God's bold vision for your life, you are going to have to fight battles. And I don't have to be a prophet to tell you, you are either fighting a battle right now, or you have just come out of a battle, or you're going to get into a battle. It is a battle for God's vision over your life. It is a battle not just for you, but a battle for the next generation. And so take the battles you face seriously. There is a war going on. And it is only those who are awake to the fact that there are battles we have to fight. It is only those who are awake to that truth and that reality that are going to make sure that they are ready, so that when the day of battle comes, you win, because you know that victory is bigger than just you. It is about the generations that are coming. And I can tell you with confidence, the reason Watoto Church is here today is because our founders and the generation that went ahead of us fought the battles. It's going to be our turn now. So what lessons do we learn from the fall of Jericho? Three lessons we learn. The first is this, and please write these down because you're going to need them in the battle. The first lesson we learn from the fall of Jericho is this. As you pursue God's bold vision for your life, you need to trust God's ways. You need to trust God's ways. I mean, when you read this portion of scripture, it is so clear that Israel experienced victory over Jericho because they trusted God's ways. The battle strategy that God gave to Israel made no military sense at all. They were going into battle with a city that had been fortified. It is a city that had been secured, and its walls were tall and high, and they were big. And Joshua chapter 6 starts by telling us that they had strengthened because they knew the Israelites were coming. But how many know that if God has said it, he will do it? It doesn't matter how much Jericho strengthened their walls, the time for judgment had come. I can imagine Jericho had probably placed their best soldiers around to make sure that when the Israelites came, they'll be able to deal with them. But Israel trusted God's ways. Joshua chapter 6 and verse 2 to 5. Then the Lord said to Joshua, "See, I have delivered Jericho into your hands along with its king and its fighting men. March around the city once with all the armed men. Do this for 6 days. Have 7 priests carry trumpets of ram's horns in front of the ark. On the 7th day, march around the city 7 times with the priests blowing the trumpets. When you hear them sound a long blast on the trumpets, have the whole army give a loud shout. Then the wall of the city will collapse and the army will go up, everyone straight in." Now, Joshua was one of the spies that had been to the promised land. Joshua understood a thing or two about war. But what God is asking him to do does not make sense. You do not show up to the enemy's territory and just march around in silence. And not just for one day. For 6 days, you march around once. On the seventh day, seven times. I'm sure the only way Joshua would go about this was by trusting that our awesome God knows what he is doing. You know, when the Bible says that God's ways are above our ways, it is in the moments of battle and challenges that you begin to really see that God's ways are above our ways. God will move in your situation and in your circumstance in a way that you did not even imagine possible. Some of you are seated in this place, and there are some things God has asked you to do, and it did not make sense. It seemed as if God had called you this way, but he's asking you to first go this way. And you're saying, but God, I'm meant to be going this way. Why am I going this way? And Joshua had to make a choice. Do we go to this fortified city that has prepared for us? This enemy that has prepared? And go with this battle strategy? Thank God, Joshua was a man of great faith and he chose to trust God's ways. My prayer, Watoto family, is that you will trust God's ways even when they do not make sense. Because the battle is not yours. The battle is the Lord's. It is not your battle to fight in your own strength and power. Allow God to fight for you. Follow his instructions. Do what he says, because he is so committed to the vision that he has given you for your life. He's so committed to the purpose and plan for your life that there are some things he's going to ask you to do, and those things are a test. If you would simply obey and do what God asks you to do, you will begin to see victory after victory after victory. You are one decision away from experiencing victory in certain battles. Battles in your family, battles for your career, battles for your marriage, battles for your children, battles for the vision God has given to you. You are simply one decision away from experiencing victory if only you would trust God's ways even when they do not make sense. And for Joshua, it was to march silently. And only on the seventh time, on the seventh day, would they shout. Now picture with me. What guarantee do you have that when you shout, walls are going to fall? You think about it. Just shout. Just shout. I don't know what Jericho was like, but I'm sure as they were marching, us have been like, this is some military strategy. How many of you have sensed sometimes that God has asked you to do something that didn't make sense? And yet when you obeyed, everything made sense. Why? He knows the end from the beginning. He has written out all the days of your life, and if you will trust him, look out, victory is on its way. Trust God. Trust his ways. The Bible tells us in Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5, trust God from the bottom of your heart. Don't try to figure out everything on your own. Listen for God's voice in everything you do, everywhere you go. He's the one who will keep you on track. Don't assume that you know it all. What are you going through right now where you need to simply trust the Lord? What are you going through right now that you simply need to follow His instruction even if it doesn't make sense? For some of you, He's asking you to let some things go. But Lord, this is my business. But Lord, this is my income. But Lord, this is, and He's saying, let it go. But if I let it go, how am I going to feed my family? Lord, but if I go in that direction with my career, that right now, even in Uganda, doesn't make sense to even go in that direction. And God is saying, go. Trust God. I thank God that we don't have to live with the pressure of being all-knowing. I thank God that we can release that to Him in faith. And when we do what He has asked us to do, we will experience what God has for us. I tell you what, for Gary and Marilyn, it was coming to Uganda when everyone else was running away from Uganda. The ambassador knocked at their door and said, you know what? You need to leave. And they said, no, God spoke to us. We need to stay. They said, you know that if you choose to stay, we're not responsible for what's going to happen to you. And they said, we know what? We have a word from God. We are going to stay. And they trusted God even when it did make sense. Look at what God has done. Shall we give Him praise in the house today? Israel had to trust in God's ways. Joshua needed to lead them with faith that if God said it, He will do it. But the second lesson we learn is this, from the fall of Jericho. My brother, my sister, as you pursue God's vision for your life, you have to know that God is with you. The easiest thing to doubt is the presence of God. Because sometimes we want to have goosebumps. We want to feel. But you and I know that life takes you through some things where you don't feel like God is present. And maybe that's where you are right now in this season of your life. You say, God, are you with me? Are you truly with me? How can I be going through what I'm going through? And yet when I open the pages of the Bible, it says you will never leave me nor forsake me. And the Bible says you do not lie. But how is it that I'm going through what I'm going through? God, where are you? But the Bible doesn't ask us to feel that God is with us. The Bible asks us to no. In other words, hold on to the conviction that God is with you. You may not feel it. It may not feel like it. It may not even look like it. And some of you right now have been asking God, where are you? Help me make sense of what is going on. But I want you to know, God is up to something. He's with you. For the Israelites, it was the presence of the ark. That ark would assure them that God's presence was with them. Now they didn't have a cloud by day, and they didn't have a pillar of fire by night. They didn't have the pillar of cloud by day and the fire by night. They didn't have that now. What they had was the ark, a box. And they had to believe God was with them. And so in Joshua chapter 6, when you go to verse 4 to 8, the Bible says, God said to
to Joshua, have seven priests carry trumpets of ram's horns in front of the ark. And he ordered the army, advance, march around the city with an armed guard going ahead of the ark of the Lord. When Joshua had spoken to the people, the seven priests carrying the seven trumpets before the Lord went forward, blowing their trumpets, and the ark of the Lord's covenant followed them. Now, I want you to picture with me. They are going against a fortified city that has men of battle. And for them, it is priests who are carrying an ark and priests who are blowing trumpets. I don't know about you, but you don't send the band ahead of you. You don't go into battle singing ding 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 ding. If that's your battle strategy, the enemy will look and say, this is going to be so much easier than we thought. Blowing trumpets. Blowing trumpets. But what the enemy didn't know was those were not just boxes they were carrying. Those were a symbol of God's presence among those people. God was with them. However fortified that city was, you and God are a majority on your own. God is a majority all by himself. It doesn't matter how big the enemy is. It doesn't matter how strong the enemy is. God with you is a majority on its own. And God was with them. And I love the fact that he asked them to worship and to play music. And I'm sure what that did is probably they played certain songs that they already knew. Songs that reminded them of the victories that God had led them into. Possibly songs that they would sing when they cried out and called on the name of their God. And they played those songs and they marched around. And for the first 6 days and the six times on the seventh day, they said nothing. All they did was march around. And here's something you need to know about battle in those days. Is that battles were such a spiritual thing. Every nation, when they went into battle, they carried their gods with them. When you were defeated in battle, you became a subject to this kingdom and you worshipped their god. Here comes Israel. With the Ark of the Covenant, the presence of God with them. Give thanks to the Lord, our God and King. His love endures forever, for he is good, he is above all things. His love endures forever. Sing praise, march, sing praise. And those are trumpets. But the one who was with them was about to do something that they had never seen before. To bring them a victory they didn't know they were going to accomplish. And not only was it about defeating Jericho, it was about bringing judgment on the sinful and godless nations in the promised land. They were going to be kicked out, and the rule of God, the throne of God, the power of God was going to be established, and the first place was Jericho. I'm so thankful that they didn't take the first battle with their own hands, but they took the first battle because the presence of God was with them. So they couldn't take the credit. All they could say is, this battle we won because the presence of God was with us. And God began to establish their footprint right after that. We're going to watch a video by our founders, Gary and Marilyn. And in this story, they tell of how, because they walked in the direction God had asked them to, God stayed with them. God covered them. And the victory story we tell today of 40 years plus of Watoto Ministries is because the presence of God was with our founders even when the battle for the vision was on. Let's watch this video together.
In order to succeed in life, you have to have purpose. You have to have a vision. You've got to know what God wants you to do. And it was very clear to me as a young 30-year-old preacher living in Zambia that God spoke very clearly to me, said, Gary, I want you to go to Kampala. I want you to go downtown, and I want you to plant an English-speaking church. And then he said something. He said, through that church, I'll touch the city, I'll touch the nation. You know, vision needs to be big. Vision needs to be bold. Vision needs to be audacious. Vision needs to be something that is so big, so bold, so audacious that without God, you can't succeed. That's what David did when he stood before Goliath. He knew that without God, he was finished. And that's the way God wants to put vision in our hearts and has as a church. And that vision is to bring healing to people, healing to community, and healing to nations. Wow, that's a big dream. But you know what? Without a vision, without a dream, people cast off restraint. People have no purpose, no future, no hope. And that's why we're here. So God put it in my heart, Gary, I want you to plant an English church. Look at where we are today. All these years, 40 years later, wow, God is a good God. But you have to begin with that big, bold, audacious vision.
You know, Gary's vision wasn't just a vision. It was a bold vision. And you know, the word bold, it actually means to be fearless before danger. It actually means to be assured, to be confident. And I remember part of his vision was the Norman Cinema. I'll never forget walking in the first time. The roof leaked so badly that when it rained, you needed an umbrella. The building was totally destroyed. We were in the middle of a civil war. But when Gary walked through those doors, he had a vision, didn't you, Gary?
I did.
He actually didn't see it the way it was. He saw it the way it be. And that's actually what vision is, seeing things not the way they are, but the way they could be. And we knew that that was the building that God wanted us to have. But you see, the army was occupying that building. When they would catch the rebels, they would bring them downtown to our building that we're in today, worshiping Jesus. They would torture them and kill them in that building. There was no way that we were going to get that building. But man, we had to experience bold vision, didn't we?
We did.
We had to actually put into practice what the word bold means. I remember the American ambassador coming to our house and saying, Gary, I can't tell you that you need to leave Uganda, but you need to ask yourself why you're here. We got down on our knees, we prayed, and God told us, don't go. Go and ask to use that building. When you go in, you won't go out. You see, a bold vision is also assured. We were assured that God was going to give us that building. So miraculously, we went in, and in the middle of revival meetings, when many people were coming to find newfound freedom in Jesus, President Museveni marched into town, overthrew the government, the soldiers that had literally threatened our lives. Mm. They came to our house and said they were going to kill us. They ran away. They left us in that building, and we have never left. God miraculously gave us that building. You see, a bold vision always brings about reward. You know, the thing is Gary saw that building full of light, renovated, jam-packed full of people with their hands raised, worshiping Jesus. And church every Sunday, we now see with our eyes. What you saw in that vision, renovated, one of the most beautiful buildings in the whole city. But the best part, jam-packed full of people worshiping Jesus every single Sunday. I want to encourage you, won't you get a bold vision for your life?
You know, that vision has not only come to pass, but God said, you're to write down the vision, and then it's going to happen. Well, it has happened. And so God asked me to write it down and put it in a book, and I was able to write Where Faith Lit the Way. And it's really the story of Watoto Church, the miraculous, amazing things that God has done over the last 40 years. I hope that you'll get a copy. I know that it'll inspire you, it will challenge you, it will provoke you, not only to be a part of this great church, but to have a vision for your life. And a vision for your life means surrendering your life to Jesus, asking Him to become the Lord, the boss of your life. And as you do that, He's going to put His arms around you. He's going to love you, and He's going to guide you, and He's going to show you how you can really succeed in life by putting Him first. And if you do that, life is going to be okay.
Amazing.
Jesus said, I will be with you always to the very end of the age. I want you to encourage 2-3 people around you and tell them He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. You can count on His presence. And finally, as you pursue God's vision for your life, here's another lesson we can learn from the fall of Jericho, that we must persist in prayer. We are to pray and never give up. We are to hold on and not let go. Fulfilling God's vision for your life is a long journey. It has many bumps in the road. There are going to be some good days, but there are going to be some difficult days. There are going to be battles to face. Some of the battles are with people who are close to you. Some of the battles are against the hand of the enemy. Satan begins to attack what God is doing in your life. And as we journey to fulfill all that God has for us, we're going to have to be men and women who persist in prayer. In Joshua chapter 6 and verse 15 and 20, on the seventh day, the Bible says, they got up at daybreak and marched around the city 7 times in the same manner, except that on that day, they circled the city 7 times. The 7th time round, when the priests sounded the trumpet blast, Joshua commanded the army, shout, for the Lord has given you the city. When the trumpet sounded, the army shouted, and at the sound of the trumpet, when the men gave a loud shout, the wall collapsed. So everyone charged straight in, and they took the city. Friends, I'm so glad that Joshua and the children of Israel stuck to it. Day 1, day 2, day 3, day 4, day 5, day 6, up to day 7. And for you, sometimes it's going to have to be year number 1, year number 2, year number 3, year number 4, year number 5, year number 6, year number 7. But I love the 7th number because it is the number of perfection. It is the number when things are fulfilled. My God is such a fulfiller of His promises. At just the right time, you're going to begin to see His promise for you begin to be fulfilled in Jesus' name. May you remain strong in the battle. May you persist in prayer. Be like Daniel. Even when his enemies came against him in the city of Babylon, Daniel prayed, and when they threw him in the lion's den, it was the presence of God and his unshakable faith in God that kept him in that lion's den. And his enemies thought he would be consumed, but instead God made him a friend to lions. And He shut their mouths, and they sat in there with Him. And yet when His enemies were thrown into that pit, before they even landed, the beasts tore them apart. When you hold on to God's dream and God's vision and God's promise, and you soak it in prayer, which is your declaration of your total dependence on God, where you acknowledge that, God, I am limited, but You are the God of all power and authority, watch out and see what God will do. The things you cannot win on your own, the God of angel armies will step in, fight for you, and give you victory. And even your enemies will not doubt. They will simply say, your God is the one and true God. So I want to encourage you, persist, hold on. Be faithful in the place of prayer. Don't give up. Get down on your knees, because this battle is not just a battle. It is a battle for what God wants to do. And I want to remind you, your weapons are not carnal, but they are mighty in God to the pulling down of strongholds. Men and women of prayer are going to see the hand of God in their lives and are going to see God fulfill what He has promised to them. If you believe it, would you shout amen and believe God's word for you today? Lord, we want to thank You. We want to thank You. that on the journey to fulfilling your promise for our lives, although we're going to fight battles, you're the God who gives us victory in the battle. But you're calling us to trust your ways, because the way you're going to do it is going to be very different. You're calling us to faith. You're calling us to trust that you're with us. It may not feel like it. The fire may be hot. The suffering may be heavy. The cross may be difficult to carry. But your presence is our assurance that keeps us going every day. Give us the grace to persist in prayer, to not give up, to go in the direction you've called us to go, to do the things you've called us to do, even when they do not make sense. But you who is faithful, your ear is inclined towards us, and we will see victory in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and all of God's people together said, amen. I want to invite you right now to bow your head and close your eyes for a moment. You're in this place, you say, Brian, I'm trusting God for victory in my life because I want to see God fulfill His purpose for my life. Here's one of what I want to say to you, my brother, my sister. I want to say to you that there is a victory that you and I so desperately needed that we couldn't win on our own. It had to take God Himself sending His one and only Son to come. It was the battle against sin and judgment. But because Jesus came and died on the cross, friends, the punishment that we deserved has been spared. We've been spared. And what God is calling us to is saying, listen, turn away from your sin. Surrender your life to Jesus so that you do not face my wrath and judgment, but instead you receive my love and mercy. I was 14 years old when I understood that. And I surrendered my life to Jesus. And He saved me. And for the last 26 years, I have walked in the victory of salvation that only God can bring. You and I cannot save ourselves. We all need a Savior, and His name is Jesus. Turn away from your sin today. Surrender your life to Him, and you will be saved. With every head bowed and every eye closed, you say, Jesus, that's me. Forgive me. Forgive me, Jesus. I want you to be my Lord and Savior. I want you to save me. I want you to change me. I want you to make me a child of God. I want to be born again. Wherever you are, whether you're upstairs, downstairs, in the overflow, and that is your prayer today, saying, Lord, save me. You need to be born again. Lift up your hand. Just lift up your hand wherever you are. It doesn't matter how badly you have messed up. Jesus came for you. He wants to save you. He wants to save you. Lift up your hand wherever you are. Jesus loves you so much. Today is your day of salvation. Lift up your hand to Jesus. Make Him the Lord of your life. Upstairs, downstairs, in the overflow. Surrender your life to Him today. That's where it all begins. When you come to Jesus and you surrender your life to Him and you say, forgive me of my sin. Make me a child of God. Lift up your hand to Him. For some of you, you're saying, Lord, I recommit my life to you. I'd lost my way, but I'm coming back to you. Lift up your hand to Him right now. He will forgive you of all your sin. Do it right now. Thank you. Jesus sees those hands. Just lift up your hand. This is the very last call. Upstairs, downstairs, in the overflow. You're saying, Jesus, I come back to you today. I recommit my life to you. Save me. Change me. Make me a child of God. Lift up your hand. Lift up your hand. It's the very last call. You're recommitting your life to Jesus. Lift up your hand as well. You've lifted up your hand. Here's what I want you to do. Would you pray this prayer after me and mean every word you're saying from the bottom of your heart? Because as you do this, you're making your personal commitment to Jesus. Church, let's all pray right now and help encourage our brothers and sisters as they make this commitment to Jesus. Come on, let's all pray together saying, Dear Jesus, thank you for loving me. I recognize that I am a sinner and I need a Savior. Jesus, you are the only Savior.
Today, I am asking you to forgive me of my sin. Wash me clean in your precious blood. Give me a brand new life. Jesus, I now receive you as my Lord and my Savior. And from this day, I believe that I'm born again, that I'm a child of God. I will live for you and I will follow you for the rest of my life. In Jesus' name, and everybody says, amen and amen and amen. Let's celebrate every miracle of salvation today.
Thank you for listening. We hope this encourages you to step into the new. Tune in next time as we delve into the Word of God. For comments and feedback or counseling, write to connect@watotochurch.com. Hey!